episode 21 of the Dying Seed Radio. Wake up! It's time to get started. I'm Bob Noxious. Bobby Pickles is over there. What's up, dude?
Yo, what's up, Bob? How you doing, man? This is a very political week, man. I mean, I did something that you really shouldn't do. We spoke with a couple bands this week, and I brought politics up, man. I know that you shouldn't talk about politics or religion, really.
Yeah, you're that guy who's on Facebook, and you're already putting up the Clinton-Gore Confederate flag. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I apologize, Bob. I don't know what's getting into me, man. I know that this stuff is put out there just to perpetrate this kind of ridiculous banter back and forth on social media, and I fall prey to it every time. I get right into that dirty stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't feel good afterwards.
So what's your rant? You got some kind of political podium you're standing on today? What's your soapbox?
I've been very interested in the gun law, Second Amendment debate that's been going on, backlash because of what happened last week on Wednesday in Charleston, South Carolina, and also the Confederate flag they're talking about taking down and, you know, saying it's a symbol of racism and whatnot. I see points on both ends for both of those different issues, but they just got me crazy, man. There's a lot of crap going on. You know, why is it in punk rock so outlawed to discuss politics when really that's when it was created, man? That's what was going on with it.
It's not just punk rock, man. Nobody wants to hear that shit right now. You're damned if you do or you're damned if you don't. And either way, it doesn't really matter. But hey, get out there and vote anyway. We're going to rock the vote here. Let's just get into the news here, man. Let's keep it light. Let's keep our listeners and not bore them.
I mean, I don't find it boring, but just to serve everybody and not polarize any potential listeners of Dying Scene Radio, let's just keep it light, like you said. I think that's smart.
Word up.
Anyway.
What's happening?
All right. According to an article published by OC Weekly, Taste of Chaos will be returning from a 5-year hiatus, not as a full-fledged tour, but as a one-day festival. The festival is set to take place on October 3rd at the San Manuel Amphitheater in San Bernardino, California. And names on the lineup include Jimmy Eat World, Saves the Day, Thrice, and Blink-182's Mark Hoppus, among others. The same article also mentions It's Not Dead Festival, which seemed like somewhat of a hoax when it was announced earlier this year, mainly because the lineup was so unbelievably awesome and details surrounding it were pretty hazy. But according to OC Weekly, the festival featuring Bad Religion, Descendants, NOFX, Pennywise, Lesson Jake, and many others is in fact real, and it will be taking place on October 10th at the same venue that will play host to Taste of Chaos, man. So tickets for both festivals went on sale last Monday, June 22nd. Early bird tickets started at $25, while regular sales price is $42.50.
Yeah, snap those tickets up at that price. That's a good price. And by the way, turning Taste of Chaos from a full-blown tour to a one show, that's more like a sampling of chaos.
Nice pun, Bob. Are you familiar with the Taste of Chaos?
Yes, I'm aware.
Have you been to it?
It was never really my style. It featured a type of music that was a little bit more commercialized and it's just, you know, I've been more punk rock, and that's not a punk rock festival.
Cool, man. Moving along to the next story, Misfits guitarist Dez Kadena announced on his Facebook page that he has left the band and will be replaced by Jerry Only's son, whose name is unknown. He explains, "I'm not with the Misfits anymore. This is what I do for a living now. Sorry if you were expecting to see me in California. All the best to the band and friends. Carry on." Last spring, the former vocalist and rhythm guitarist of Black Flag had a malignant tumor removed from his larynx, leaving him, at least briefly, unable to sing, though he could still speak. It's not clear if this has anything to do with his departure from the Misfits.
Well, the big news on this is that Jerry Only, we don't know what his kid's name is. Poor kid's gone this far in life without a name. He who cannot be named.
Yeah, he who cannot be named Junior.
Give me one more, Bobby, then let's rip into some music.
According to Deadline, attorneys for Courtney Love have sent cease and desist letters to theaters screening the recently released documentary Soaked in Bleach, a feature-length film examining the circumstances of late Nirvana frontman Kurt Cobain. You can see a trailer for the film on YouTube. The film examines a long-standing rumor that Cobain's 1994 death was not a suicide, as had been previously determined, but rather a homicide potentially involving Love. The letter alleges that the film falsely presents a widely and repeated debunked conspiracy theory that accuses Miss Cobain of orchestrating the death of her husband, Kurt Cobain, Producers for the film said in a statement, Courtney Love and her lawyers clearly don't like that the film presents a compelling case for reopening the investigation into Kurt's death. They should respect the First Amendment and let people decide for themselves.
Which,
just like people arguing about the Confederate flag, Bob.
Yeah, man. I tell you what, man. As far as trailers and Courtney Hole or whatever her name is, man. If I wanted to see a trailer, I'd go watch some whole videos. Whatever, man. You know, this story has already been told. We all know that Courtney did it and El Duce was an accomplice. End of story. Who cares? It's over. I got some brand new stuff right here from a melodic Birmingham, England band. They're a trio. They're called Templeton Peck. Maybe you've heard of them, maybe you haven't, but they've just released a lyric video for their new single called The Blind Side. Now, Templeton Peck's latest release, New Horizons, was released this past week on Tuesday via Hardline Entertainment. The album serves as the follow-up to the band's critically acclaimed Signs, which was released in 2013 via Century Media. Here it is, Templeton Peck with The Blind Side on Dying Scene Radio.
Jingle. Closing up the cells behind the doors and more. The circumstances place us in the threat to the grits. They said I'm not in curtains closed. Lately I can wonder if we're all supposed to suck it up, I'll be the puppet on the string. Say fuck it and I know it that I want to sing. And lay it on the scene now.
Punk band called Moment 22, and they've just released their EP, which is entitled Catch, and that's the first one since their last release in 2013, Devil's Breed. Find it streaming on your SoundCloud or right here on dyingscene.com. Check it out, man. Good stuff. Bobby?
Yeah, man. That reminds me of the Holophonics interview, man. But, you know, we haven't heard it yet. We're going to get into it, but their name is Moment 22, and the name of their album is Catch. So when people are Googling Catch 22, which is a band that's been around for, how long has Catch 22 been around? They've been around a decent amount of time.
Oh, yeah.
They have a pretty decent Google search, I'm sure, if you type in Catch 22.
It's search trickery. It's search trickery. I get
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
It is. It's
exactly.
like
exactly.
So, but how many people are actually Googling Catch 22 these days?
Hey, man, but if you do Google it, you find Moment 22 with their new album, Catch. So, boom.
Very clever. Anyway. Very clever.
Very clever. Very clever. Yeah, you got to think outside the box, man. Like Bob Noxious, how could you find people that are searching for the band of London, Ontario, Bob Noxious, then they could find you somehow?
Well, it's because
you got to figure out how to do that.
My name pops up in front of theirs on the Google search.
It does?
I don't know. I've never Googled. Well, I mean, I'm not going to say I've never Googled the name, but I really don't know what rank it is. They're far cooler than I could ever be.
Let me go into a piece of news here. So I have a tour announcement. We already talked about this last week a little bit. The Ska Revival Tour. The lineup and a good chunk of tour dates for the second annual Ska Revival Tour have been revealed. Las Vegas is Be Like Max, and Denver's The AOKs will be headlining the tour, and other bands will be joining them on select dates. Find more info on when and where all the currently announced shows will be taking place on dyingscene.com, and stay tuned as more dates are added to the tour. We just talked to those guys last week, Bob.
We did, and they were cool guys, man. I am looking forward to meeting those guys and checking out the tour when they come through town. And, you know, what's funny is I also got Be Like Max lined up in this next set that I got coming up. But anyway, more news. Just a little teaser.
Nice. And I know you're going to have fun sneaking behind the building down there with those guys. That's going to be great.
Not behind the building. We'll just go down one of the alleys. You know, we may end up behind the building.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, underneath the gas lamp.
A handful of big time acts have been added to the lineups at the three Riot Fest locations for later this summer because you needed more of a reason to go, right? Now appearing at the Denver Riot Fest, which is being held on August 28th through the 30th, will be System of a Down, The Prodigy, who are still a band because 1990s big beat music will somehow never die, and Death Grips. added to the lineup at the Chicago installment of Riot Fest, which is taking place September 11th through the 13th, will be System of a Down and The Prodigy. And now appearing in Toronto, which is taking place September 19th through the 20th, will be Cancer Bats, The Prodigy, Bleachers, and Weezer, Bob, who will be performing the Blue Album and Pinkerton in their entirety.
There you go. That's what the price of admission right there.
That's right, Bob.
The Prodigy, a lot of dates there. That's an interesting thing. Like you say, 90s music will never die. You know, back in the 90s when I heard all these crappy songs, I never thought that I would still be being tortured by them. And here these days, you know, I don't listen to regular radio, but sometimes you are exposed to it. You know, maybe you or you're in a store and it's Christmas time and they're playing songs. And I hear these 90s music, Creed and some other garbage. And I'm just like, why is that still being played? Some Pearl Jam. Ugh. Put a bullet in my head.
It's being played because you live in the South, Bob. You live in Florida.
Is it just me? Is it not that way everywhere?
No.
All right.
It's not.
Again, and I don't listen to the radio, so who knows?
Yeah, they play that for their market. So that's the market that you live in, Bob.
It's terrible.
Yep. Anyway, Bob, I'm tired of talking. I'm going to use your line from last week. I'm sick of talking, man. Let's get back to some music.
Fan-fucking-tastic, man. I got some stuff right here from the Berkeley Surf Space Age punk rockers called the Atom Age. I know that you had an opportunity to check these guys out on tour with the Dwarves, as did I. But guess what? They've just premiered a brand new track from the upcoming album called Hot Shame, set to be released August 25th through Asian Man Records. And it's going to be the band's latest release since their 2014 split EP with Grand Tarantula. This track from the Atom Age is entitled It's a Mess, and you can listen to it right here on Dying Scene Radio.
If you don't have a way to try and lose some of the steam that's building up now. lies from the harsh realities. Well, I confess I'm a mess on my own now. Always rely on the fans in my own town. Bringing back a little respect with all the kids who really give a damn. What have you left? Well, some will be deprived when they watch their only idols from outside. Cause now we feel like we belong. Cause when the sun fights back and the sun's gotta give, there's some respect to the six and the rookies. Oh, 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 oh. Soon up the clubs will bend, they need a paycheck. When the system wasn't meant for crowds young enough not to drink, but old enough to love the songs that we sing. Well, I understand that we all gotta eat, but what you don't get is the music's kinda late. When no one's there to sing in the front, only old folks at the bar with their arms crossed. I would like to thank every boy and girl who made these moments great. Cause now we feel like we belong.
Queers are from Texas, and you don't very much look like a steer to me, so I guess that kind of narrows it down.
We're live here. We got Eric on the old internets here. Eric's with the Holophonics, Denton, Texas, proud. Welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Great. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Don't mess with the Holophonics, and don't mess with Texas. Why shouldn't we mess with the Holophonics?
Because we are a force to be reckoned with, of course.
How many people are in the band?
There's six of us.
That's a pretty decent gang up. Me and Bob couldn't take you guys, six people, so hey, you're right.
There are six Texans in the band, so.
Are you guys all true Texans? I was listening to your new record, and it mentions that not everyone's from Texas.
Actually, everyone but me is a native Texan. I was born in New York.
Okay. Oh, you're just like Bush. You know, all you had to do is be born in Connecticut, one state over.
Yeah, I'm just like Bush. I appreciate that comparison.
You guys have got a new record that you're working on, and I know that you're getting ready to release a video. Tell us a little bit about both.
The new record, it's our 11th album that we've done in the last 3 years, but it's only our second album of original songs. So we're really stoked to finally get off the cover song wagon and start doing our own music again. We've released one song from the album already. We're going to release a second along with the music video, and then the album in its entirety will be out on July 14th.
So your new video drops today.
Today!
Awesome!
Let me ask you this real quick. You mentioned that this is your second release of originals. A little bit of history about the band, and I'm counting 12 on your Bandcamp releases that are available. You guys, since 2012, have put out a shit ton of records. How do you guys do that? What's the motive behind it? What keeps you guys motivated to keep up that pace?
I mean, we pretty much just keep going. As soon as we're done with an album, we start the next one. And we traditionally have not spent a lot of time promoting the music. We just kind of make it and put it on the internet and see whoever finds it. It's been working all right so far. Generally, the only time we take off is to hit the road and go on tour. So we're stoked to hit the East Coast this summer, too.
Now, how often do you guys get out on the road?
Usually every summer. Last year, we did a full 2 months doing the entire country. This year it's only about 3.5 weeks. Every summer is kind of our goal. We have some teachers in the band, so they're kind of booked during the school year.
Now, do you guys ever catch any flack for being a ska band?
Each and every day.
So what's it like, you know, take us through the day in the life of being in a ska band and the disrespect that you proclaim?
Ska is an interesting genre because its heyday was supposed to be a long time ago. But there's actually a pretty healthy ska scene going on the national level right now. And actually in Texas, there's a really good ska scene in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So within our genre, things are great. But whenever someone else asks us what kind of music we play, we're always met with just a blank stare. And we got to explain, oh yeah, there's a trumpet and a trombone, and it's kind of like reggae, but not really. Oh, you guys listen to jazz? Well, it's not really like that, but on the whole, ska is just a super fun genre, and there's plenty of kids that are into it to make it well worthwhile.
I've always been a fan of the ska punk sound. I don't know about the older ska stuff myself, but I really dig you guys' sound, and I've been kind of watching from afar as you guys have put out record after record, and one that caught my attention was the one you did of Maroon 5. You pretty much reenacted the entire, what is it called, 5 record. What was the reasoning behind that, and how is that any different than U2 being the worst band ever?
It was kind of a challenge that we kind of gave ourselves. Last year, we did a tribute to Saves the Day, and they're one of my favorite bands of all time, ska or otherwise, and we did the whole tribute album, and we kind of had the idea, well, what if we did a tribute album that was just done as quickly as possible? As soon as a band released their album, we just did our own tribute album immediately thereafter. So we took it upon ourselves to wait in line on the first day, bought the Maroon 5 CD when it came out. It was in September of last year. And immediately went home, listened to it, did our own arrangements. And over, I think it took us 3.5 weeks to arrange and record the entire album. We put it up on the internet as soon as we could. It was just kind of a fun challenge. I didn't have much of a life for those 3 weeks just stuck in the studio. I actually don't mind Maroon 5. As far as pop bands go, they're all pretty good musicians, and they have their own shtick, I guess. They're not trying to fool anyone. They are a pop band. But as far as pop music goes, I'm okay with Maroon 5, but U2, I can't stand U2. No.
Now, do you have to ask any permission of these artists to cover their stuff, or no?
That's the beauty of it. No, you don't need any permission. You just have to pay the fee. There is a set government-mandated fee that you have to pay for every cover song. It's not too much, but you know, if you're doing an entire album of cover songs, it does add up, so we incur some costs there, but it's a pretty simple process. You just go online, fill out the form, pay the fee, and the original writer of the song can't stop you.
Yeah, and the business model proves it's successful, though, because right after this new record comes out, people are going to be searching for that record, and they're going to see you right there in the search history or whatever, right? In the Googleator.
You figured out our secret strategy. Yeah.
How has that worked for you, though?
Great, actually. We've put a bunch of videos up on YouTube of cover songs, and a lot of our discovery comes from YouTube. We get a lot of new fans that just stumble upon our music because they're looking for versions of a pop song, and they find our version. And a lot of times, they don't even know much about ska or don't like ska, even if they do, but, you know, they'll comment and they'll say they like our version, and maybe they listen to some of our original songs.
Man, that's brilliant. So you have this plethora of songs for people to search and find, and then they start finding your original material now. Now you start releasing the original stuff. That's so brilliant. How much percentage of a particular concert that you play is a cover song versus original material?
We generally split them one or the other. We do a lot of local bar shows around the Dallas area, only playing cover songs, because honestly, people don't care too much about ska if they're just going out to a bar. We're kind of background music, and yeah, it's kind of a sellout move, but you know, it pays the bills. Show up and we're just background music playing ska versions of pop songs. They don't even care that we're playing ska and reggae versions. We're playing pop song, and that's all that matters. But when we book our own shows, like for all this tour in the summer, all the shows we're going to focus on our original music.
How come you guys don't use a different band name, or do you, whenever you when your original versus your cover set?
We figured it might be confusing if we kind of go back and forth between different roles, but ultimately everything kind of fuels the promotion for every aspect of the band, and just keeping it under one banner kind of brings it all together and brings a bunch of different people to the same place.
I got you.
I thought we just explained it though, Bob. See, they have a brilliant idea. It's a brilliant marketing strategy. They cover a bunch of bands. People look for those bands, and then they eventually see their original material.
I get it. I'm slow, man. I'm down here in Florida. All right.
No, I understand. I know. He is in Florida. Now, you guys are going to Florida soon. Isn't that right?
Yep. We'll be in Orlando and in Jacksonville on July 23rd and 24th.
Cool. Nice. We'll try to head over. Wait, which day is the 24th?
Friday night.
I mean, is that Jacksonville or Orlando?
Jacksonville on the 24th, yeah.
So, no, we're playing across the street from the AOKs on the 25th, so I can't do the Orlando one. How come you missed out on the ska revival down here?
We had some weird, complicated issues getting our dates coordinated because we had been planning our own tour, and Ska Revival Tour asked us to join in on some of their dates, and we got it to work out as best as we could. We're a few days apart in some markets, but we do line back up in the Midwest, and we have a bunch of dates as part of the tour out there. It was the best compromise we could manage, get everything to line up. There's a bunch of bands, and it was hard to work it all out.
And now you're coming up to New York as well, right?
Yeah, we're going to be playing on Long Island, where I grew up, actually.
Suffolk County?
Yep, in Sayville.
Nice. Okay, perfect. I'll probably come out to that one. I'm in Fairfield County. I'm right across the Long Island Sound there. But I saw something about you guys putting out this new record that's coming out and there being no crowdfunding involved whatsoever. And I just wanted to get your take on crowdfunding. Why not use crowdfunding? Is it something that you've utilized in the past? Are you against it morally for some reason? What's the deal with crowdfunding?
No, I love it. We have done a Kickstarter campaign in the past. We did it for a cover album about a year and a half ago. And part of the twist that we did on that one was for one of the higher backing levels, we had donors choose a song that actually wound up on the album that we did a cover version of. So there were actually 10 people that picked songs. So the album was mostly donor-chosen material. We didn't know what the songs were going to be, but we committed to recording them. And a lot of times it was songs that we didn't know very well and kind of opened our ears to some new things. I love Kickstarter and all the crowdfunding things. It's great. We've done it in the past. I didn't want to overuse it. And, you know, what we posted on our Facebook is that this album was going to happen no matter what. We definitely appreciate the help that we can get from fans in funding everything. But I think kind of the point of Kickstarter is that if you don't get funding, the project can't happen, and we knew that this album was going to happen no matter what, no matter how much debt we went into ourselves. So yeah, we did it, and we spent a lot of money, and now we're just going to try and make it back.
Very cool, very cool. You know, in the history of punk rock music, I know this isn't punk rock, this is ska music, but you guys being from Texas, do you guys get political at all? It's pretty political down there in Texas, and the debates are happening right now over gun laws because of what happened in Charleston last week. Can you tell me anything about that, or is it something that you want to stay away from?
It has been tricky. I'm a traditional East Coast liberal, I guess, and I moved to Texas 5 years ago. But I can't really write songs about politics, at least on a national scale, without alienating a lot of our Texas fan base. And, you know, that's fine. Everyone can have their own point of view, but a lot of people don't necessarily want to listen to political music if it doesn't align with their own views. And there's a lot of those people that probably would like our music if it wasn't political. So we try to keep it out, at least on a larger level. But there is one particular issue that resonates with a lot of our local fan base that we did write our only political song. It's on this album. It's the issue of fracking. We wrote a song called Frack Off, and it's just a huge environmental thing that's been making national headlines. But Denton, Texas, our home base here, is the first city to ban hydraulic fracturing because it's a huge environmental and economic destructive force. And there's been a lot of pushback from the state government, and it seems like our local fan base and the local crowd in Denton, Texas and the surrounding areas in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex are very firmly against fracking. So that's a political issue that we feel extremely strong about because, you know, it affects us in our hometown and it affects our local fans and it does affect everyone on the national level too. So that's kind of the political issue that we're owning right now.
Well, that's fantastic. I actually align with that also. I feel that that's a big issue. I'm glad that you guys are pushing that agenda, man. Hey, Bob, do we have a song in particular that we're going to play these guys? Can we play that song?
That works for me. I also like the one about the Bluetooth, man, just because it's such a departure from ska. I deem that death ska. What was it? Bluetooth douchebag?
Yeah.
What's that one about?
You, Bobby Pickles.
Oh.
The guy that walks around with the Bluetooth in his ear?
That's not me, Bob.
What do you think that we should play, Eric? What song from the new record?
I want to play Frack Off, Executive Decision Time. That's what we're playing.
You're lucky I agree with you right now. Otherwise, you'd be so vetoed. Man, that was the Texas ska band The Holophonics, who have just, as they mentioned, unveiled a brand new album titled Don't Mess With The Holophonics. It's good stuff coming out next month. Before that was Be Like Max doing Sin City Rude Kids. Pretty cool stuff. And of course, the Atom Age started that set off with It's a Mess. Bobby, let's do some more news, man.
You sounded so enthusiastic with that outro. That was great. You need to hype it up, Bob. Do you need coffee?
Maybe.
What's your pulse rate at?
Let me check here. See, my smartwatch died, so I have no idea what my pulse rate is anymore. My digital scale is broken, so I don't even know what I weigh anymore. And at this point in my life, I just don't even care. I don't even want to be healthy. I just want to be alive.
Bob, you inspired me last week when you covered a very aged list on dyingscene.com regarding the proper way to create a punk rock fest.
Yeah.
So this week, I decided to cover a list as well, although it's not as old as the story you covered. The one I covered was just posted, entitled 10 Up-and-Coming International Punk Bands You Should Be Listening To. The list does just what the title says. It lists 10 international punk bands that you fuckers need to check out. The article lists the names of the band and their American equivalent, plus a recommended track from the band.
Their American equivalent? What does that mean?
Yeah. Let me go over the following bands.
Okay, all right, cool. All right.
Number one is Fast Response. It says their American equivalent would be American Made. And the recommended track is Cuntspiracy.
Okay.
For instance. And that's how it goes. I mean, number two, 5 Minute Major. Their American equivalent is Mischief Brew. And the recommended track to listen to is The Shape of Blues to Come. Also, just as I may add, I mean, those tracks are available for stream underneath the respective numbers.
Cool. I'll go check it out. Man, does it say where they're from, too?
Says where they're from. You know, you got some Canadian bands, some German bands. You got bands from all over the globe, Bob, doing punk rock like it should be done. We can't be so ethnocentric here in the good U.S. of A, man. You gotta
I'm all about it, man.
I know you are. Also on the list are Hell and Back, Split Fist, Radical Failure, One Last Round, Foley, Strike Again, Lashing Fred, and Wolf Bites Boy.
Oh, I've heard.
So go check that out.
I've heard Wolf Bites Boy.
Nice.
I believe I've heard Foley and Hell and Back. I've definitely heard of. I think, are they from Germany?
Yes, they're from Germany, Bob. Yes,
cool.
They are.
Awesome.
Apparently, Sum 41 frontman Derek Whibley has a side project called Derek Whibley and the Happiness Machines now. And they're going to be playing a short run of club shows in California early next month. All the promotional materials say the band will be playing Sum 41 songs, but based on the fact that this isn't being branded as a Sum 41 tour, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess Jason McCaslin and Tom Thacker aren't in the mix. Either way, these will be Derek Whibley's first onstage appearances since his recovery from alcoholism, so if you're interested in seeing him and a couple of random dudes playing Sum 41 songs, you can find more info and when and where that will be happening on, you guessed it, dyingscene.com, motherfucker. July 3rd, the Constellation Room at the Observatory in Orange County, California. July 5th, the Casbah in San Diego. And then July 7th, the Lyric Theater in L motherfucking A.
Right on. Hey, Bobby, that's a cool t-shirt you got on over there. Is that a Fat Enzo joint over there?
Oh, shit. Oh, you talking about this one,
yeah,
Bob?
Yeah, oh, man, the B.B. King one. It's the mashup of B.B. King and G.G. Allin. Nice, dude.
That's right. B.B. Allin, man. If you remember back to the Screeching Weasel episode, episode 17, that's when I conceptualized the idea, and I asked you and Mr. Weasel what your opinion on the t-shirt would be, and you both said it was too early and it would be offensive.
It's been a couple weeks now, so let her rip.
Let her rip, man. If anybody wants to get that, they can head over to fatenzo.com.
That's right, man.
The awesome folks over at Groupies just released Slime Time, a bundle of 10 punk rock releases featuring the bands Mean Jeans, Iron Sheik, Brutal Youth, Blowfuse, Not on Tour, Straight Line, Biffers, Lay It on the Line, and Surfin' Mutants Pizza Party. The bundle, that's a great name, right, Bob?
Sure thing, man. Forget the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Surfin' Mutants Pizza Party, who could they possibly be talking about? You know, they need to go on tour with Wasted Potential. That would be a great pizza punk fucking tour. Anyway, the bundle that I'm talking about right here includes different price points that will get you some or all of the releases included, with the proceeds benefiting the Souls for Souls charity that believes everyone around the world deserves a good pair of shoes. Find the link to the bundle on Dying Scene and pick yourself up some new music while helping out a great cause. Don't be like Bob, walking around in a Wawa store shoeless or bumming around on some random beach in America's penis.
If I'm going to be shoeless, I will be on the beach. I don't know about the Wawa stores, dude. Florida, down here, the asphalt gets hot. Way too freaking hot to walk on, man. You know what I mean?
New York hardcore friends of the show, Entropy, have announced a hiatus, Bob. Oh, that's sad, man.
Man.
The band, I know, bro. Those guys are good, man. I love those dudes. The band cites that the break is due to frontman Brian Lawrence's health. Good dude. To coincide with the hiatus, the band released a cover of Oscar's Panic. You may have noticed that we've been disappearing off shows and have been quiet lately. We figured it was time we addressed that. A few months back, I found out I have a stomach disease, which, while it isn't deadly, is pretty debilitating. Progress is small and answers are slow in coming, which is why we held off on speaking about this publicly until now. What does this mean for Entropy? We're ducking under a rock for the short term until I can get this sorted enough to begin performing again. Everyone who knows me knows I've lived and breathed punk rock since I saw my first studded bandolier in France during World War I, and nothing short of being dead as hell will stop me from making music permanently. We appreciate every one of you. Every show we played, every floor we crashed on, every friend we made along the way has been what's made this worthwhile, and it's why you'll see us again. We'll be back before long and stronger than ever. Old Brian. Sad news in the Entropy camp, Bobo.
Yeah, for sure, man. Hey, good luck on your recovery, and we'll see you again soon. You know what is ironic, Mr. Pickles, is that I actually had some Entropy lined up, because just this week they've also released a streaming cover song of the classic punk rock ditty by Oscar called Panic. Now, back on episode 4, we had these guys on there. I took you to school, Bobby. I took you to school with a band called Oscar, and we played a song called Strangled by Oscar, so I'm wondering if I indeed took those fellas to school as well, because...
No, you did. I taught to Brian, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, let me relive it in my mind that that's how I took them to school.
Okay, that's fair
enough. That's just a twist of irony then. No, so you talked to Brian, and that's something that already worked out, or is that what prompted our conversation?
How the fuck did that happen, man? I don't know. I was talking to him on Facebook and stuff, and I guess it was right around that same time. I was trying to get Oscar on the show, and I was mentioning to him back and forth that I had talked to the guy. He was saying how he liked him, and he was, you know, Oscar was a great influence in the band and whatnot, and telling me about how they were the most hated punk band in America during the 90s, you know, schooling me as well. But the point is, I guess, that they were already well-versed in Oscar.
All right.
But maybe we reminded him.
Cool. Well, check it out. Here it is. Here's their cover song of Panic by Oscar. It's Entropy, Dying Scene Radio.
Yeah.
was Versus the World doing the Santa Margarita. This week, the Santa Barbara-based punk rock band Versus the World, which features members of the Ataris and Lagwagon, released their third full-length studio album called Homesick Roadsick, and they're streaming all 11 tracks right here on DyingScene.com. Homesick Roadsick was released this week on Tuesday, June 23rd, through their original home, Kung Fu Records, and it can be purchased through their Bandcamp page as well. Serves as the follow-up to the 2012 Drink, Sing, Live, Love through Viking Funeral, which, by the way, that's Fletcher from Pennywise's record label. Cool stuff. And by the way, Bobby, that record they're putting out, Homesick, Roadsick, it has the slash, the front slash in front of it, just like Bad Cop, Bad Cop. I just wanted to let you know that.
Okay, so tell me about the spaces. Is there a space in between the slash?
No, they don't exist, nor do I believe that they're supposed to be there. I think you're the only one who does that.
Bob, I actually researched it in depth. I'll send you all the stuff. I'll bring you to school later, Bob.
I took a course for 6 fucking credits. Of course I fucking know there's a space in between.
There's a couple different uses, Bob. Sometimes you put a space and sometimes you don't. But in that particular instance, what Bad Cop is, there is supposed to be a space there. Look up Good Cop, Bad Cop, for instance. Look up the phrase Good Cop, Bad Cop. There's a fucking space.
It's ironic that somebody just sent to me the meanings of that. I'll have to look it up. I don't know where it's at. It's buried in my Facebook or something. The meanings of Good Cop, Bad Cop, and yeah.
Anyway, let me get into some news. How about
word?
Former Dead Kennedys frontman Jello Biafra is streaming his new live album, Walk on Jidal's Splinters. The album is credited to Jello Biafra and the New Orleans Raunch and Soul All-Stars, and finds the group covering a bunch of soul, blues, and garage rock classics during a 2011 Mardi Gras show in New Orleans. You can hear the album in its entirety on DyingScene.com. Bob, I believe last week you shared your displeasure for live albums because it is usually cover in a lapse of creativity or inadequate material for a greatest hits record. Considering that we just got news that we will be speaking with Mr. Biafra on this program at some point, do you now recant that statement?
No, I don't. I stand by everything I say. Whatever spouts out of my mouth, I stick by it at all times. Is that confirmed, or are we going to speak with Jello coming up soon? I saw the email. Is that confirmed?
Yeah, it's going to happen 100%, but we just don't know in what capacity, be it a telephone call, be it a guest host spot. We don't know.
All right.
Well, you know, we're going to try to figure that out, Bob. And
right now, our handlers are speaking with his handlers, so that's
good.
We'll
take what we can get, right?
Yeah, man, absolutely. I'd love to talk to Jello. I want to know if he's going to run for president this year.
You know what? What a perfect person to talk politics with.
Yes, for sure. There you go.
See, on that one, you know what, Bob? I would like to talk politics with some of these guys, man. You know what? Just like our boy said, Propagandhi's the one.
There goes our
dude,
listeners.
Let's talk to Propagandhi.
I'd love to talk to Propagandhi.
But fuck all that, Bob. Let's get to the next piece of news, man. Canadian horror punks, your homies, Black Cat Attack, featuring former Sum 41 guitarist Dave Brownsound Baksh. How do I pronounce that, man? Bash? Baksh?
We just call him Brown Sound.
Brown Sound. They're headed back out on tour across the eastern and midwestern U.S. with garage rock punk group The Anti-Queens. You can check out the dates and locations on Dying Scene. You know, a couple things that I found interesting. Number one, obviously they're hitting St. Petersburg, Florida, and you had expressed that he's going to do a little guest host spot on here. That's going to be awesome. The second thing is it actually says July 13th, Loud, Fast, Shitty interview. That is written on there specifically. What is that? What is Loud, Fast, Shitty?
Loud, Fast, Shitty is my alter ego radio show. Actually, it's not even an alter ego. It's a show that I've been doing for the past, I guess, 8 years now, maybe almost 9, 324 episodes deep. So, yeah, man, having these guys come in, man, a little bit of love to loudfastshitty.com. Check it out.
And that's something that you do live every week, so.
Yeah, live every Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern time.
No editing whatsoever.
Unedited,
right?
Unfiltered, unscripted.
And whatever spews out of your grubby little mouth, you stick to.
To be honest with you, man, I talk so much into a microphone that half the time I forget what I say. And I forget that people listen until I go out in public. And then I get pulled aside and they're like, dude, What the fuck is wrong with you, man? That guy's cat just fucking died. And I'd be like, what? And I forget that I talked about, you know, I insulted some band I interviewed about a cat that they were trying to save. Anyway, stuff like that happens all the time.
That's why you're Bob Noxious, Bob. The real Bob Noxious. Fuck the London, Ontario guys. I don't care how good Wasted Potential says they are. Anyway.
I got to be honest. I'm surprised that Wasted Potential said that they were so good. So,
you know what? We brought it up a couple times on this show, and I think I heard the polar opposite opinion from the other bands that we talked to that said anything about them. But, hey, listen, whatever. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, you know, as what's going on in the world.
And they say opinions are like assholes.
The third thing I wanted to mention, though, about this tour that they're going on is July 24th, to be announced. They need a show in New York City. Book us. That's on there, too, man. These guys need some help booking a show for New York City. Any of you guys are bookers out there? July 24th. You want to put somebody on the bill, man. Black Cat Attack.
Black Cat Attack is a kick-ass group of people just in general, you know. As a band, they're awesome. Love those guys. I can't wait to see them and have them here in the studio.
Bob, I know this isn't punk news per se, but fuck it. We make up our own rules here, don't we? It's been announced that both Tool and Primus will be on stage with Coheed and Cambria at the Monster Mash Music Fest at Tempe Beach Park in Tempe, Arizona on Halloween Day, October 31st. Special guests are to be announced, and tickets go on sale today. Hey, Maynard used to be roommates with the Cow God, so that's punk enough for me, Bob.
Sure, man. That's why instant credibility right there.
Instant credibility. Music, maestro, please.
Want some more music? I got some brand new stuff from a Chicago punk band called the Jetbirds, who last released Evolved Animal back in August of 2013. Well, they've got a brand new EP, which was just released, called Brooke Was Here. They're currently offering the whole thing as a pay-what-you-want download, so go find the links. You know where they're at. This is the Jetbirds, Scale the Wall, on Dying Scene Radio.
Scale the Wall! Life. is Ben Weasel with Screeching Weasel. You're listening to Dying Scene Radio. God help you.
We got the Pizza Punkers from Ontario in here. We got Wasted Potential, fresh off their band practice from their other band, joining us here in the studio on Dying Scene Radio. What's up, fellas?
Just hanging out, being sweaty and gross from all this humidity.
Yeah, it's pretty hot and sticky. You know, I was going to ask you guys about, you know, being from Ontario. I've called myself Bob Noxious for years and years and years, but you guys have a band up there. Not you guys. I won't blame it on you guys, but there's a band up there called Bob Noxious. Please, as an outsider, tell me who the fuck these guys are.
It's a couple guys from the East End of London singing about bongs and beer and shit, ripping guitars and singing about prostitutes in the East End.
Yeah, it's like trailer trash 80s rock and roll.
Yeah. One of the guitar players was in the Black Donnellys, which was a pretty legendary hardcore band from London in the 80s.
If people don't know them, listen to them. They're amazing.
Wow. So
what's their name?
The Black Donnellys. There was a TV show about, like, Black Donnellys is this whole, like, crazy family that was from right outside of London in Lucan. And if people research the Black Donnellys, not the band, but the people there, it's a pretty cool story.
Now, what do you got there? You drinking a Molson?
No, we're drinking fucking some Bushes.
Bush Light.
Oh, nice. What do you think of the Bud Light, if I may ask? Are you a fan of the Bud Light? I love it.
Maybe the BLLs, the Bud Light Limes, the Mojitos. No, we don't really drink Bud.
Oh, shit. Bob's coming in.
You guys don't know shit about beer, but obviously you guys might know a little bit about pizza. Tell me about this pizza infatuation you guys have. I mean, are you guys literally connoisseurs or just fans?
I would say my diet at one point in time was like pretty much pizza 5-6 days a week. I don't know about the rest of the band. I just sort of recruited these guys and they had to fall into place, so we're known as the pizza band. But yeah, we like pizza a lot. Who doesn't like pizza, really?
Pizza's like sex. Even when it's bad pizza, it's still pizza, right? You know?
Do you know how to make your own pizza?
I do.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Okay, good, good. Now, what's your favorite style of pizza? Would it be New York style, Chicago style, St. Louis style, London, Ontario style? I don't know what that's like.
I love me some deep dish, but it's hard to get around here, so Chicago style is pretty deadly.
That'll right. fill you up fast, too, man. Plus, it's the gut busters, as we call them. We'll destroy a bathroom in no time. Pre-fest and fest, you guys are coming down here to the Sunshine State, down where I'm at. You're looking forward to that, I'm sure, right? Are you playing your way down, doing a tour of sorts, or is it just coming down to Florida?
We'll see how adventurous we want to get with your border police and stuff, so we'll see. Right now, it's just fest, so I don't know if we're all traveling together or separately, so we'll see.
I believe there's a passageway through Detroit that'll get you through. But, you know, being from Canada, you're coming across the U.S. border, it's like a stock question I ask any band out of Canada. How tough is it? You're talking about calling them Nazis and whatnot, so pretty tough?
I've been stopped. I had to take my shoes off and empty all my pockets and sat there for an hour while they demanded I give them my drugs.
It's hard to say. I don't know. Your border's a lot tougher from what I hear about you guys coming over here, so like they accuse us of being all potheads or something.
Well, you are, right?
If a U.S. citizen is in any kind of trouble ever, you don't get to travel over to Canada. You guys keep us out. It's where the beer's at.
It's tricky. Like, we have lots of friends' bands that try to go across that have issues. Like, our good buddies, the Flatliners, even their, like, proper paperwork didn't go through last fall, and they got held up for, like, a week before they can make it across the border. And they've been crossing for, like, 10 years, and everything got delayed. So it can be tricky for even some of the biggest bands.
And so they grill you, too, as soon as they know you're a band, right? Because you're coming here to make money or whatever. They want to do, like, a payoff kind of deal or something like that? Or what's the deal with that? You try to not mention that you're playing in a band?
Yeah, if we go across and you don't have working visas, you pretty much have to make an excuse, like a bachelor party or something of that nature to get across the border. Whether we're playing one show or playing like 20 shows, we would probably have to pay a couple grand just to get across the border for work visas. Pretty ridiculous.
That is pretty ridiculous, man. That's crazy. And you know, back in the day, I went over to Vancouver and we drove across the border with a keg of beer in the back. And it was open and we were drinking the entire time. But things have definitely changed. And yeah, it's what do you think about gun laws, man? I want to hear, we got all this gun law debating going on down here in the States right now because of the Charleston shooting from last week. And I know in Canada, you guys don't own guns. Is that right?
He's got an AK-47 on his t-shirt, Bobby.
Yeah, I don't know what I have on my shirt. Not half bad. That band's awesome. Anyways, I grew up around guns. I'm from, like, the middle of nowhere in, like, northwestern Ontario, which is close to, like, Duluth, Minnesota. So from the moment I was in the bush going out canoeing and shit, we had 22 caliber, like, rifle guns and stuff that we were allowed to have as young kids, but we were taught how to use them. You never point them at a person. Your dad would be like, no, you just don't get to have a gun. We don't have handguns. The only time I've seen a handgun in my life was going to Detroit to go see the Suicide Machines 2 years ago, and a dude pulled the gun out after the show when I was in line to get pizza at what the hell is that fucking venue in Detroit?
Magic Stick?
The Magic Stick. I was at Black Christmas seeing Suicide Machines, and that was my first handgun that I seen in real life, and it got pulled out when I was getting pizza, some dude being an asshole.
What do you think about America, man? America's just retarded, right?
You know what? Honestly, it was pretty scary, because everybody else that was from there was like acting like it was no big deal, and I was sort of turtling in the corner. I was like, I just want my pizza, dude. I don't want to get shot here.
When a man pulls a gun, you give him the pizza. That's just, you have to give him the pizza.
That's true. It's the one time you give it away.
You guys don't get particularly political in your music, or what?
This guy writes the lyrics, ask him.
No politics?
No, I prefer to keep that kind of thing more private, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to be preachy. I feel people should believe what they want to, as long as it's not asshole, I guess.
We export the best political punk band out of our country to your country anyway, so Propagandhi does it.
Propagandhi, for sure. Absolutely. I knew right where you were going with that. Bobby, I might have to delete you off my Facebook feed this election season. You're asking too many political questions Way too early, man. We're talking to Canadians, dude. They could give two fucks about, you know, what's going on down here in the States, man. We're all crazy. We're all going to hell. Guys, tell us about the new record.
That was recorded a year ago.
Nice notes, Bobby.
It's called Nervous Conditions. It's 5 songs.
We recorded 6 songs in the session. 2 of the songs came out on a split in the spring on Yeah Right Records with Owen Wilson. The other 4 songs are coming out on the EP. It was all recorded almost like across the street from my house at a place called the Sugar Shack. That's where Single Mothers did Negative Qualities.
What happened with the Les Paul?
We were literally 2 blocks up the street from my house. My friend was having a housewarming party. My guitarist came there afterwards, wasn't drinking, was just hanging out, parked his vehicle, realized his guitar was in the truck and was like, fuck. So he buried it under a bunch of stuff in the back seat so you couldn't see it. And he was at the party bragging about how his vehicle had never been broken into in a conversation with other people. Leaves the house 10 minutes later, window smashed out, guitar stolen. That's the story, man. And like, we haven't got it back, but we've had like 500 people share that post off the wall, and we appreciate you guys sharing it. I can see you share it on Facebook.
Got a lot of heat in old London town.
Somebody tries to sell that baby, it's going to get found. So somebody better hide it unless they want their ass beat.
It'll eventually turn up. It'll probably be on eBay or something like that, or a couple counties over, one or the other. Good luck finding that, man. It sucks. I've had guitars stolen, and it sucks.
Bob, weren't you going to bust these guys' balls about some intellectual property stuff or something like that?
Yeah, that's right, man. Actually, I was looking through some of your merch, man. You guys are ripped off the Pennywise logo, man. I thought that's a classy move, man. I, for one, have been one to steal intellectual property. Properties, but where can I pick up one of those t-shirts?
You send me your address, I'll mail you one out. We don't have very many printed. I was at Fest last year, and I was at a venue, and I seen a Pennywise shirt from the back, and then I was like, wait, that's not a Pennywise shirt. It was some band called Rotting Out. And I was like, wait, those letters represent my band better than Rotting Out. So I came back, I was like, dudes, I just want to rip this off just for the sake, because everybody does a fucking parody shirt. I'm like, let's do it. Some of these guys were like, we're going to get sued. I was like,
good.
They would look like douchebags if they tried to sue us. So we did it.
My band, we stole the Misfits logo, and it means nothing to us other than it's a cool logo. We made t-shirts. We hope to get sued, man, just so we can get our name on Dying Scene.
What did you think of that Glenn Danzig and corpse paint for the first time in like 25 years or 30 years?
And you know what, man? It's cool, man. You know, he's been doing some stuff with Doyle, and I think I might have said it a long time ago. It's bound to happen. Although, I think I just heard that Dez has now left the Misfits, and Jerry Only's son's taking his place. So, I mean, that's some interesting news right there, too. Hey, man, I think we'll get some kind of lineup together sometime soon, man. And I want to see the band back in makeup, man. Be like Kiss. The Kiss Fits.
Somebody's going to get money hungry enough for that band to fully reform eventually. We'll see. It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming for sure, man. And we'll be there to cover it and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
fellas, what do you want us to play from this last record? You got anything new coming out?
Me and Danny run a little tape label called Kermurder Fan Club. And we just put out 2 demo songs that were demoed for our full length that we're recording in the fall. So you can get your hands on Weekend at Bernice's. That's on our 4-way Pooza split with Jukebox Romantics, my other band Snacks, and our really good buddies Game Day Regulars. That would be the song that I would check out. Yeah!
There it was, as requested by the boys in the band. That was Wasted Potential doing Weekend at Bernice's, which came from the four-way split On the Road to Pooza with Game Day Regulars. Wasted Potential, the Jukebox Romantics, and Snacks. Find that right there on the Kurt Murder Fan Club. Bobby, we missed out on that interview to ask them about why they run a tape label. Did you miss that?
Yeah, no, I you know what? Forgive me, I didn't find it that interesting, I guess. I mean, I think we talked about this with Mr. Weasel over there. Tapes, man. Why do people do tapes? I don't get it, but whatever.
Anyway. You
know. Who is a tape player these days?
You're right. Also, in that set before that was On Hiding to Nothing, and of course the Jetbirds started that set off. Bobby, let's round this thing up and start getting ready to close it down, man. You got some more news?
Yeah, but before I go to the news, I just wanted to comment, man. That was a tongue twister you said there, On a Hiding to Nothing. You enunciated it very well, though.
I wonder what the meaning is behind that, On a Hiding to Nothing. What happens when you Google that?
I don't know, man. Let me Google that and Bobnoxious.
Hopefully you get nothing. Oh, I see. Individually. Yeah, okay. I'm slow.
I got nothing individually.
Hiding to Nothing from horse racing. UK slang On a Hiding to Nothing. To be faced with a situation which is pointless, as a successful outcome is impossible. This is usually expressed in terms of a sporting contest in which one of two outcomes is foreseen, either a hiding or nothing. The two in the phrase indicates alternative outcomes, as in terms like 6-1 in dollars to donuts, whatever.
I know something else that's On a Hiding to Nothing. Facebook internet political debates. That's an endless, meaningless fight, and you're always going to come back to the end. And it'll just be a waste of time, in my opinion. People just want to get emotional and talk shit about stuff that doesn't even mean anything in the grand scheme of things, Bob.
I've seen your post, Bobby Pickles. I've seen your posts.
But you don't comment on them, do you? You don't put your balls out there and just say, this is how I feel.
I'll be honest, man. I mean, I got the social media thing and whatever. What I post on there, I usually just intend to make people chuckle. Try to keep it light. Either that or it's shameless self-promotion for any one of my many radio shows or bands that I play in.
Well, go ahead and do it since you just brought it up. Why don't you do that right now? Because we're on our way out after this piece of news, right?
Shameless promotion of what? What would you like for me to shamelessly promote?
Oh, whatever you feel, you know.
I do that on Facebook. You know, nobody cares about this other stuff. They listen. Dying Scene Radio, every Monday night.
Every Monday night? Loud, fat, shitty.
You're right.
I'm sorry, you said Dying Scene
Radio. I can't even get my damn radio shows straight anymore, Bobby. Every Friday night.
Legendary Canadian hardcore punks, Snafu. How's that pronounced?
SNFU.
Did you just say SNFU or you say Snafu?
I think it's Snafu. That's what I always called it. I have no idea. Maybe we can get some email on that. Generate some.
You want to Google that too? You can Google that too and you can find out just, you know, you just found out a piece of information. Shit.
Look at that. Google later.
While you Google it, let me continue. They've announced a tour of Australia and New Zealand to celebrate a 30th anniversary of their debut album. The band has not toured in that part of the world in nearly 20 years. So the shows are most likely going to sell out, and you can check out the list of dates, locations, and supporting acts on dyingscene.com. So that'd be cool, man, if you're out there and on the other side of the world, man.
I got the definition to SNFU. Society, no fucking use. Why even bother voting? SNFU.
I like that. I like that a lot, Bob. You know,
as long as you look at definition number one on the Urban Dictionary and not definition number two.
What's definition number two?
I'm going to leave it to the listeners to find that themselves.
Well, you heard it from Bob. Go out there and do a little research and find out what that is. Send Bob an email over at bobnoxious@dyingscene.com. Let him know that you found out that definition.
And when you find out that definition, make sure you email my good buddy over here, Bobby Pickles, and call him an SNFU.
But that was my joke, Bob. I was all passive-aggressive about it, but you got pretty direct. That was good.
Hey, I got called a finger pointer at work this week. And I got called to the carpet by my boss. Apparently, it's too direct with people. Apparently,
what
I'm an asshole.
A finger pointer. Dude, everybody has these little talking point names they like calling you, Bob. Over the course of this week on my Facebook debating, I've been called a bully. I've been called self-righteous. I was called a rights arguer or some shit like that. Fuck, man. I was called sexist. For what it's worth, I did get an email from a random person telling me that I'm their hero. But my whole point is finger pointer, Bob. What the fuck is a finger pointer, man?
I guess I call it like I see it, and I have no filter. And when somebody obviously drops the ball, that's the proverbial way to say someone fucked up.
You call them out.
I guess so. I'm a dick.
Bob, I don't do that, man. If somebody, it depends on what it is, but if it's like common knowledge that they know, I won't say it because I won't dig it in. But if they're skirting around it or something like that and trying not to like admit their fault or some shit, of course I'll call them out right in the middle of a meeting. And that's what you did, huh?
I didn't do it in the middle of a meeting. It was just an email.
Oh, did you send out a group email?
No, actually, I'm not even the one that responded that way. Oh, it's a long story, Bobby. The bottom line is this. I'm an asshole, okay? I admit that. I don't even care.
Nice. I'm an asshole, too. Fuck it. But you know what? I have fun. I hope you guys don't perceive me as an asshole.
No, I want all the listeners to think that I'm a cool guy. I'm not an asshole. I like the listeners. Yeah. I don't like the people I work with.
Exactly. I'm sick of talking, man. Let's be out, man. Peace, you guys.
You ready to wrap this thing up? Let's go ahead and wrap this up with some brand new stuff from a kick-ass band from back in the day. Now, I can remember this band, Propane, many, many years ago when my band opened up for them. Must have been 20-some years ago. New York hardcore legends Propane are streaming their new song, Age of Disgust, which is taken from their upcoming album, Voice of Rebellion, which was released this past week on Tuesday, June 23rd, through SPV Steamhammer Records. By the way, Bobby, there's a slash between, it's a front slash right between SPV and Steamhammer. And by the way, no space.
Voice of Bob, you finger-pointing son of a bitch.
Voice of Rebellion serves as the follow-up to The Final Revolution, which was released back in 2013, way back when. Anyway, check out the song right here, right now on Dying Scene Radio. This is Propane, Age of Disgust. See you next week.
to Potential, and you're listening to
Dying Scene
Radio. Dying.